This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Big game Batum. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Joseph Anthony Robinson Fortenbaugh, good afternoon.
Rough morning so far, I'm going to be honest. I am on my fourth attempt at a cup of coffee. Not having my fourth cup of coffee, I'm on my fourth attempt at a cup of coffee.
At attempting to, have you had trouble making them, purchasing them? What's been the issue?
Consuming them. I've had problems, believe it or not, with the most basic element of the cup of coffee, which is the consumption. Got a haircut this morning, grabbed a cup of coffee before the cut. I was running early, figured let's enjoy a cup of Joe, ease into the day. The girl's able to see me early, so we're good. We're cooking. But I got the cape on, and I'm not trying to get hair in the coffee, so that coffee's out. It's okay. It's the cost of being beautiful. We move on. Come into work. Now, because I like to chit-chat with the girl who cuts my hair, it's one of my things. I'm running late now to the meeting, so I don't have the normal cup of coffee. I come off the meeting. I go to the desk. I get a cup of coffee, but then I realize, oh, ESPN Bet Live, 3:30 p.m. Eastern today, ESPN2. I have to have all my notes ready for a quick turnover. So I start doing the notes, and I forget about the cup of coffee. It goes cold. I go get a third cup of coffee. I say, this is the one. Immediately realize I need to go to makeup to get that done because I can't get that done after today's show because, again, problem number two, we got a TV show with a quick turnaround. So now I got cup of coffee number four, and I'm going to sit here listening to you, and this thing's going to get cold. So I look forward to cup of coffee number five.
Is it? Does it have to be piping hot? Is that the deal?
No. It just can't be lukewarm. See, the machines here, the free coffee machines here, they pump it out at a temperature you can drink right away. I like that. Problem is you got to drink it right away. You go to the Starbucks here, that thing will kill you. But if you give it 10 minutes, you can enjoy it.
I got two words that are coming to mind, and it's high maintenance. But let's get to it.
Yeah,
it's Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Sixers eked one out last night. Come from behind, down 14 at one point to beat the Miami Heat. Down 12 at the break. And listen, I came away from it just seeing two things that are pretty typical in what I would have expected. Yeah, it was a lot closer than I would have thought, but that's what the Miami Heat do. They make you grind it out, Joe. They will beat you up in the process. But two things are clear. You get a role player who plays exceptionally well at home in Nicholas Batum, and you get Joel Embiid, who is a mismatch nightmare for anybody. So hence, I am not surprised.
Yep, I think the tweet I fired off after the game sums it up for all of us. Never in doubt. Never in doubt for the Philadelphia 76ers. They break late. Everybody knows this. I'll give Spoelstra and the Heat credit. They go zone in the first half, and it's like Philadelphia didn't even know how to play basketball.
Like they'd never seen it before.
Like it is staggering to me. The Warriors used to play this trick and deploy it at times in the postseason where all of a sudden they just go zone, and you watch the other team completely melt down. It's like, whoa, what? How about this? Have we studied any tape? Have we considered the idea that there could be a singular wrinkle thrown our way? But Philadelphia found a way through it. And you know what? Impressive, because they only shot 41% from the floor and 34% from deep. That game looked like game six of the conference finals. It looked like two teams that were banged up and out of gas. Philly survives. Hooray. Which, by the way, anyone bet the over in that game last night? Absolute miracle over. I think we got 17 points with 26 seconds to go in the game.
Yeah.
That thing was a dead shot under.
Yeah. Those things get dicey down the stretch. I had that happen in one game in the tournament with about 3 minutes left. About 40 points were scored.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Between two teams. And I had the under in the game. It scared the daylights out of me. But that aside, what was the first tweet before? Never in doubt.
I've sent thousands. I don't know what you're talking about.
I've been told that there was a first tweet that perhaps did not suggest that it was never in doubt. Oh, here it is. I applaud the efficiency. Philly usually waits until the second round for its inevitable flameout. Nick Nurse speeding up the timeline to avoid any potential thoughts of a championship. Smart, keep the bar low.
Yeah, that may have been sent in haste. So what?
I was just told to point it out.
No, I know. I'm watching that game last night. I'm like, this is so classic. I'm going to get ahead of this one. And I fire off the tweet. I help the kids with their showers, read them a book, put them to bed, come back down. Philly's in the game. I'm thinking to myself, all right, freezing cold takes could be on my horizon here. Let's see how this plays out. But we got the win. We got the win. That's what mattered. Some would say I just motivated the team. You're welcome, Nick Nurse. Anything else, you know who to call.
Exactly. And listen, we all know about Jimmy Butler getting hurt, and we'll get to that in a bit. He is out for several weeks should the Heat advance into the eighth seed as they will play that game next. But for the Sixers, it's all about the Knicks and the matchup that lies in front of them right now. Here is Nick Nurse, the Sixers head coach, after the game.
I think they're for real. I think they're really good. I think they're fast. I think they can shoot. I think they hit the glass. I think they guard you. I think they've earned that seed. They've played really well and beaten a lot of good teams. So we'll have our work to do here in the next couple of days to get ready for them.
While last night did not look like a game that you want to put on a resume, so to speak, for the Sixers, because of the way that the Heat play, I think it prepares them even more so for the Knicks, because the Heat grind it up even further than the Knicks do, and the Knicks want to do that. They're going to come at you with everything they have in every last moment. I just think there are matchup problems here for Philadelphia, or for the Knicks in the grand scheme.
Little bit of money would agree with you early on. Money coming in on the Sixers for the series. Open -110 both ways. That's a coin flip right there, baby. That's
think
what
about
we want
that
to see.
For a second. Think about that. Number 2 seed Knicks are the slight underdogs in this series.
Well, no, -110 both ways. It was even.
Oh, okay.
And then if
I had just
finished,
looked, it was -115 Philadelphia.
And that's where the second sentence was going. If the second sentence was allowed to follow the first finish without the big rhino just barging in there to get his words in, guess what ends up happening? We update people on the fact that to pay off the original statement, there's early money on Philadelphia, now -115, -105.
Send the script next time, will you?
Send the script. It's like, no, Joe, I know you do this for a living, but you may have had something wrong here. Let me just get ahead of this next sentence because it can't possibly have anything to do with the first sentence. That's not how structure works in a conversation.
Once again, just going off history here. That's all.
But yeah, so you're seeing
you
that.
You were saying?
I think a lot of people, though, they look at that performance last night and they think, I don't know. Philadelphia didn't look very good. That's what the Heat do. You said it yourself. The Heat make you look bad. That's their whole shtick. Now you're going to come into this matchup against the Knicks. I don't know. Knicks get 4 games at home. I think a bet to play here, and this is a little off the radar, over 5.5 games for the series. It's -200. I do not see this series either way being wrapped up in fewer than 6 games. Do you?
No. No, absolutely not. I would, if I had to put money on it right now, I would absolutely take that over. And my number is 6 for the series, to be clear.
Who in 6?
The Sixers.
Oh, not going to make a lot of friends in New York with that type of commentary.
No, but I think it's just true. I'm hearing a lot from the people in New York about how, and the Knicks fans really over the last couple of years have gotten completely out of hand and have lost all perspective on what, you know, truth is, versus what, you know, they see or they believe. And, you know, I think we've found out in other strokes of life that truth doesn't necessarily matter. But I would implore you just to look at it for a moment. Please don't throw at me about how you could throw 3 different big men at Joel Embiid and we got 6 fouls for each guy and Isaiah Hartenstein is going to make things, just incredibly impossible. Just please stop. We're talking about the guy that was the MVP last year. And I get it. He hasn't been 100% healthy. That's the only way that the Knicks win this series, is if Joel Embiid's health gets in the way of the Sixers. That's the only way.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's not giving the Knicks a whole lot of credit. I find that interesting.
But it's not, but it has more to do with matchups than anything else. And what did we talk about yesterday? The incredible improvement of Tyrese Maxey this season.
He's been fantastic.
Yeah. So that really has me thinking the way I am right now. Those two things, at least at the moment, before this series even starts, that's where I'm at with it.
But given the way Philadelphia has historically struggled in the playoffs, and by struggle, I mean bomb out on a routine basis, you're not at all worried? The Knicks have been gritty. And some would argue the best time to get the Knicks, to revisit a conversation from yesterday regarding the Nuggets, the best time to get the Knicks would be later in the playoffs, after Thibodeau's played him 55 minutes in a 48-minute game every single night, right? Like, that would be the time you'd want to get him. They've had almost a week off to get ready for this. They could jump on the Sixers early. They do get the four home games. I believe they're a 2.5-point favorite for game one.
Look, the four home games, I understand. I don't believe that the Knicks are an unbeatable team at home this year. Or at least in this series. I don't believe that to be the case. I think they're a good home team, home court advantage team. And right now I'm just going to look what their record was at home this season. It was 27-14. I mean, okay. But does that mean they're unbeatable? The Celtics were 37-4 at home. Like, if you want to talk to me about that, the fourth game at home doesn't mean as much.
Okay.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Joe, I don't know if you're aware. I think you are, knowing that usually on top of things. NFL draft 1 week away.
No,
1 week away.
I've been betting on it, but have been completely unaware that it's happening.
One team in the top three of the draft is very, very open to trading down. But anybody looking to trade up, buyer beware. We'll tell you why next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Sit tight. We'll see you at 12:30. I got a lot to say. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So we've discussed all different machinations about the draft and about where
machinations.
Things, that's what I said. Machinations.
Is it machinations? Machinations.
I thought it was pronounced machinations.
I know what you thought. I heard it. That's why I brought it up, because think it's machinations.
I've heard both. So why don't you work on a little pronunciation guide while I'm laying out the facts.
I'll get to the bottom of this.
All right. So anyway, we've talked all about the different machinations,
if you
insist.
You want to be right or you want to sound goofy?
I've heard it both ways. All I can tell you is I have the English degree and I don't know that you do. So just saying.
I do not.
Anyway. Just a little while ago, Elliot Wolf, who is the Patriots director of scouting and is, you know, right at the top of the organization now that Bill Belichick's gone and kind of running that draft, speaking about the possibility of trading out of the number three pick.
We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in the first round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft. And, you know, we're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. But if there's an opportunity to move up and you know, strike, if the board kind of recommends it, then we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either.
So that is basically telling teams, go ahead, dial us up. Let's see where we're at. You know, it's a smart thing to do no matter how you're thinking. They very well may be thinking we're going to draft a quarterback anyway. But they want to at least see what's out there. Smart. Joe, so this really got me to thinking the other day as we were considering teams that are potentially going to trade up to get a quarterback about the success rate in that. So it has happened 29 times really since the mid-70s where a team has traded up in the first round to get a quarterback, whether it's just a couple of spots or whether it is trade all the way up, like, for instance, what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes a few years ago, going from, what, 29 to 10 or whatever it was.
What is it? How many in how many years?
Since the mid-70s.
Mid-70s. How okay. many teams have traded up in the first round?
29.
29 instances. Okay, this is a nice sample here.
Yes, okay. If I were to ask you to guess what the success level is in those 29 instances of guys that absolutely panned out for that team and it was worth the trade, what do you think that number is?
60%?
No, that number is down at 30%. Depending on how you view things, it's roughly 9 or 10 out of 29 times.
You're saying 9 or 10 of these 29 trades involved a hit. The team ended up...
Correct.
Drafting a quarterback that ended up turning out to be successful.
Right. I don't want to go through the entire list of who didn't make it, but just to give you
an idea.
We don't
want to show the work. It's not about core math around here, people.
Well,
just take our word for it.
That's never been important. That whole show your work thing was that was complete crap. I got the answer. Don't worry about my process, okay?
Whether it came from the girl next to me or my brain,
it doesn't matter. Right? Is the answer right? Thank you. Doesn't matter how it got there, okay? But just to give you an idea of somebody who was on the line, whether it worked or didn't work, Carson Wentz. That's kind of where that line is.
Pretty good example right there.
Okay. So here's the point. Joe, when you're, it's one thing when you look at the draft hit rate of the last 12, 13 years, and it's right around that same number since they changed the pay structure and teams can give up on guys sooner. It's right around 30, 35%. But this is trading up a lot of assets as well. That's not a good enough reason to me to move up considerably. And I would call considerably if you're at 11, 12, or 13, moving up to 4 or even 3. If you're giving up a ton of assets, if you're giving up, let's say if you're Minnesota, you know, 11, 23, and then a first round pick next year, man, that's not a great hit rate, Joe. That doesn't give me a lot of confidence.
First off, great work on this. I didn't realize the big
fella had it. Well, you haven't seen the work.
I'll take you at your word for it.
I got a big yellow piece of paper right here that has names on it.
All that work only needed one piece of paper.
That's right.
Anything on the back of that paper, or is it just the front?
If there's anything that Joe Fortenbaugh respects, it's efficiency.
It's efficiency. All right, you see this little cocktail napkin? It's got all 29 trade-ups going back to the mid-70s.
Hey, many a trade has been made versus on a cocktail napkin. You know that's true.
The first thing I would say, first off, job well done. This is great research. I have never heard this from anybody in terms of going through all the trades and looking at how many have worked out. Now, I'm sure there's some debate as to whether or not some of these guys are deemed successful or not, but I'll take your word on that because I'm sure you've worked through it and it's probably splitting hairs, right?
Yeah.
It's not as if we're determining whether or not the trade-up for Carson Wentz was considered a success. It was not. That was not successful. Philadelphia let you know that a few years in. But I don't think that should dissuade teams from getting aggressive if they believe in the candidate. Are mm-hmm. you ever 100% sure? No, you can't possibly be. But you put in the work, you trust the people who are doing the research, you go through the interviews, you watch the tape, and if you're good at your job and the people around you are good at their job, you are going to have an opportunity to hit on a quarterback if you like him and you go up and get him. I'm a firm believer that you should be overly aggressive with this position because you know what? It could be Patrick Mahomes, as it was for the Chiefs when they fell in love with the guy, traded all the way up, and brought him to town. Now, that is an outlier example. I completely understand that. But I would look at teams like the Niners who traded up for Trey Lance, like the Eagles who traded up for Carson Wentz, like the Rams who traded up for Jared Goff. They all moved on from those quarterbacks. Lance did nothing with the Niners. Pennies on the dollar they got for him. Still went to the Super Bowl. still went to overtime in the Super Bowl, still had a chance to win the Super Bowl. All right? Philadelphia Eagles still won a Super Bowl, and then a few years later got back to the Super Bowl and lost in a very tight game with Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And the Rams said goodbye to Jared Goff, made a trade to bring in Stafford, won a Super Bowl. Like, giving up all those assets to go get a quarterback, it doesn't have to be a death sentence. If you're managing the rest of your roster well, if you're proactive, if you're good at your job, you can take a swing on this position, you can miss, and you can get right back to competing very quickly, as those three teams have shown us.
Yeah, and but the thing is, to me, like, that, that's so many assets that you better be sure. And I think there are teams that act out of desperation too often. I'll give you an example of where I would do it. If I were the Raiders and I could find a way to get into a position to get Jaden Daniels, I would do it. I would do it. Because I think you have a coach who is 100% in belief of that player. I think you have a lot of people around the league that feel like he's the best quarterback in this draft. That's one where I would not hesitate one bit. If I'm somebody else and I'm talking about, you know, it's all personal preference, right? If people think that Drake May is going to be Josh Allen, like I heard Greeny talk about this morning, all right, I get it. But, like, you can't convince me that somebody that was kind of a Johnny-come-lately in terms of vaulting up the draft board over the last 2 months, during which nothing has happened, like J.J. McCarthy, you can't convince me that moving up for J.J. McCarthy is worth three first-round picks.
No, I can understand that, but think about how someone could feel that way, the way you feel about Jaden Daniels. And they might look at Jaden Daniels and say, no way. I would not give up that many picks to go get a quarterback who is that thin. He's going to take a beating in the NFL. No one, to your point, can ever be 100% certain on these guys. But if you haven't put the right people in place to identify the position, to scout the position, to develop the position, then you're not going to end up winning anyway. Right? It comes down to the hiring process, having good people who are good at their jobs, who understand what to do, and then letting them go do their jobs. And in some situations, you see these kids develop nicely. In other situations, they could end up being good quarterbacks, but they've just gotten awful coaching. Like, what's going on in Carolina right now? You just think to yourself, does Bryce Young even have a chance in that organization?
You want to hear a couple of these names that people traded up for?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Kyle Bowler.
Oh, I remember Boulder. California? Yep. University of California? Berkeley?
J.P. Lozman.
Tulane?
Jason Campbell.
Auburn. Wasn't that with Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams?
So. I believe so.
They had a corner on that team, too. That was a first-rounder, I believe. That was a really good team.
Josh Freeman.
Kansas State. Was a red flag. He didn't complete 60% of his passes in college. That was a red flag to begin
with. That was a red flag. Blaine Gabbert.
Old Mizzou.
Yeah. Like that's always one of those guys, and I had a moment like this last night. Blaine Gabbert's one of those guys where I think to myself, what did that guy make? How much has Blaine Gabbert made?
In his career?
Yeah.
Oh, he's done real nice. Do you have the number?
I have the number in front of me.
$65 million?
Blaine Gabbert's only made $27.3 million.
Wow, that's a big swing and a miss from me. Hold on, wasn't he a first-round quarterback?
He was. He was like top 10, top 7 or something. It was absurd.
Not a lot happened after that first deal, huh?
That signing bonus was $7 million.
I bet Chase Daniel has to have made more than that, right?
Oh, I believe he has, absolutely. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We're going to get more on this from our guy Mel Kiper Jr. If he thinks that history should impact those teams and how they are approaching potentially trading up. It's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
Joe Alt. I mean, the most obvious nickname of all time for an offensive lineman. He would be erasing defensive linemen from their pass rush. He would be Joe Control Alt Delete. What do we think? We don't like it?
What about just Joe Alt Delete? Cut it down a little bit.
And isn't it common form to say Control Alt Delete? Joe Alt Control Delete. You know, it feels.
Who was saying that?
I don't know. Me. Just
why would we change the order of the word?
Because the guy's last name is Alt.
Yeah,
so I want
Joe
that to be the first thing after Joe.
Control Alt Delete.
Control's not part of his name.
It's part of the nickname. Are you new here? Is this too much for you? It feels like this is too much for you. We pitched something and then Evan chimed in and tried to find a way to make it better. You are just dragging it back down into the swamp. That's all you're doing. Joe Control Alt Delete. How about if it's Joe Alt Control Joe Alt? How's that sound, everybody?
Perhaps Mel Kiper Jr. can, you know, solve this little Joe Alt-Delete controversy we have cooking. Mel joining us, ESPN NFL draft analyst. Mel, thoughts, comments, what do you think? We lost Mel. Little problem with the phone. We'll get
him
back here
in a second. Every time I hear that, I wonder what it is that's going on in your mind that comes up with the selection of, let's call him Joe Alt-Control-Alt-Delete.
Joe Control Alt Delete sounds clumsy to me. That's all. I think Joe Alt Delete is the way to go. Mel, did you catch any of the whole Alt Delete controversy on this show? Mel, are you there?
Feels like Mel's disgusted.
Oh, now I got you.
Okay, here we go.
That sticky button again. I tell you, that daggone sticky button is always a problem, guys.
I hesitate to ask, did you catch any of that controversy at all whatsoever about Joe Alt and what his nickname should be? Well, then don't worry. We'll move on.
Mel, you're better off. You're better off,
Mel. You are so much better off. It would be a complete and utter waste of your time. Mel, I was just talking about this and went back and did a little bit of work. And 29 times, teams have traded up in the first round of the draft to go get a quarterback. And it's probably worked out about a third of the time. Should any of that ever enter into the thought process about a team that wants to go be aggressive to get their quarterback?
Absolutely not. And I say that for this reason, Chris and Joe, is because teams can't figure out how to evaluate quarterbacks to this day. So there's no perfect formula. So if you believe in a guy, you just got to trust your gut. There's no perfect way. I mean, I talked to a lot of people in the league about evaluating quarterbacks, and let's see what's the most important aspect of it. And they'll say, well, I made a mistake there, so I'm not going to make the mistake this time. And guess what? Turns out to be another mistake. Either they went too far the wrong way negatively or too much positively based on what they did prior with an experience at a quarterback position. So to me, you just got to get lucky. You got to get good fortune. There's no way of knowing. Everybody will say, who was the next Tom Brady? Well, now we're saying, who's the next Brock Purdy? Good luck trying to find that guy that goes in a sixth, seventh round or Mr. Irrelevant turns out to be a hell of a starting quarterback. It's not going to happen. So you got to get lucky. Trey Lance, third pick. Oh, how's Trey Lance compared to Brock Purdy? I mean, come on. That's how off the NFL is. That's how we're all off on these rankings of quarterbacks. You just don't know. You do the best you can. You try to figure out who the best processor is. You try to figure out who's got the nicest arm, who's more accurate. At the end of the day, just hope you, once you get it right, just hope you never have to do that again is the way an organization feels. Once you get that guy for 10, 15 years, thankfully, you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Mel, when you look at all the teams that could be thinking about trading up in the first round for a quarterback, Giants, potentially Broncos, Raiders, Vikings, there's a bunch out there. Who do you think would be making the biggest mistake in doing that? Given how they're currently constructed, some teams could be desperate for a QB, but some teams could be in better shape.
Yeah, I'm the Giants. I don't want to be – I'm taking that wide receiver, guys. I'm not – I mean, Daniel Jones, are you going to give him a fighting chance or are we going to treat him like Mac Jones? Okay, or David Carr, or let's go back, where you put your quarterback out there. We say, we're not sure if Daniel's the guy, but you're not going to get him anybody. You don't get him a wide receiver. You got Malik Nabers and Romo Dunze sitting there. Marvin Harrison Jr. is gone. And if he's there, you're not going to take him either, I guess. You're going to worry about a quarterback. So what you might as well just move on from Daniel, because you obviously don't like him enough and you don't want to help him enough. So you're going to get an heir apparent when you have a wide. You haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver in 6 years. You have no explosive plays. You built up the offensive line with 4 free agents, right? Now you want to try to see if Daniel's the guy, but you're not going to get him the receiver. So again, to me, that the Giants, to answer your question, wouldn't make sense to me moving up a couple spots to get a quarterback and passing on that dominant, that big-time special wide receiver.
1 week away from the NFL draft, he's Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN draft analyst, host of the First Draft podcast. Get you everything you need. Mel, all right, let's try to put two teams together here real quick. Elliot Wolf just a little while ago said they are absolutely open to trading the 3rd overall pick. The Vikings, as Lewis Riddick told us, may be the team that is most ready to support a young quarterback with everything around them. You're the Vikings. You give up 11, 23, a first next year, plus maybe a 3rd next year. Is that enough for the Patriots? Should the Patriots do that? Or should they take, let's just argue, it's Drake May?
Well, what are they going to do at quarterback? If you move out of 3 to 11, right, and you get all these extra picks, are you going to use them to go back up? So, again, if Drake May goes 3, and obviously New England doesn't have a high opinion of Drake May if they trade out of there. That's why this is a fascinating draft. Minnesota's going to give up all of this to go up and get Drake May. New England needs a quarterback as much or more than they do. Probably the AFC, you could argue more, right? In that division, you could certainly argue more. AFC in general, more. And then you're going to take that guy. So that tells you about you asked me about quarterbacks. One team loves Drake May, the other team doesn't. Okay? So then, but they say if New England doesn't, who the heck is their quarterback going to be? You got 4 guys to choose from, assuming it goes 1-2, Caleb and Jaden. And Drake May goes 3, let somebody else have him. So you're telling me now, are you going to go get J.J. McCarthy? So you got 3-11. Are you going to go back up a little bit? You're going to be just waited out and see if J.J. drops that far? You mentioned the Giants. What do? Do they take the quarterback over the receiver? You got to get the quarterback, yet New England's going to play games with this and try to go down and then back up. And then what happens with the Raiders? There's talk they could be interested in Michael Penix Jr., right? Are they going to make a move up a little bit or just sit where they are? I think to take Michael Penix Jr., you're sitting where you are. Forget the Jaden Daniels talk. They say, oh, he wants to go to the Raiders. The Raiders want him. Well, guess what? So does Washington. So does New England. So forget that. But if the Penix Jr. talk, if it's the Raiders, you're sitting where you are. You're not moving up. If J.J. McCarthy you want, are you going to move up a little bit? And if New England does move down, what do they do? So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the Patriots end up fixing that quarterback situation.
Looking at the draft right now, and specifically the quarterback position, we've heard everything. We've heard 4 QBs in the first round with Nix and Penix both sliding. We've heard 5 QBs in the first round with either one of those two getting in. Adam Schefter said recently he could see all 6 getting in the first round. Where do you stand at the current moment?
I'd go 5 right now, Joe, to say Penix Jr. seems to be gaining momentum. I thought some team would trade back into the end of the first round for both of those guys, or in the early 2nd like they did for Levis, Tennessee did. Now, though, with the Raiders being the team to watch, the Rams at 19, I had Penix Jr., I had the Rams going up, but if they don't want to risk losing him to somebody, or did they trade back into the late first round if they take somebody at 19? Remember, Hayden Hurst went to the Ravens, and then he traded back in at 32 to get Lamar Jackson, right? Right? So you get the guy somewhere about, say, at 19, whether it's Latu or somebody like that, or Byron Murphy the 2nd, a defensive tackle from Texas, then you trade back in if Penix Jr. is still there. This is a moot point, guys, if Penix Jr. goes to the Raiders at 13. But if he is still there, do the Rams take him, or do they wait to try to get back into the late first round and get him there? And Bo Nix, everybody I talk to says Bo Nix is a 2nd rounder. I'm talking about people in the league. Does that mean he's going in the 2nd round? Maybe somebody trades into the late first round. But right now I would say 5 would be my guess right now as we speak.
Mel, Godspeed. We know there's not a lot of sleep in your future over the next week plus. Enjoy Detroit.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have fun, man. Take care, bud.
We love Mel Kiper Jr. He joins us each and every week at this time. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. Does the NBA have to rethink the play-in? We'll describe exactly what we are talking about because of some problems that have come up from it. That in just moments after I tell you about this. From our friends at Indeed, Joseph, it is the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates, and there's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, interview, and screen candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule, conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring. Indeed.com/credit.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I am coming to the conclusion of solving one of our little mysteries that have been opened up on the show today. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Joseph, last night in the play-in, Jimmy Butler gets hurt very late in the game, and we find out from Woj this morning that he is going to be out for several weeks. Obviously, a terrible situation for the Miami Heat, who are now trying to find their way into the eighth spot as they match up with the Chicago Bulls after the Bulls beat the Hawks last night, and they'll have to do it without Butler. In other words, not great even if they can get past this game. Then they've got the Celtics, and they've got no shot of beating the Celtics without Jimmy Butler on the court.
Quick aside, since it's not going to be mentioned anywhere else in the show, thanks for coming out this season, Atlanta. What a waste of everyone's time. Go ahead, keep going.
Somebody have the over?
No, I had the Hawks, but I'm not mad because of that. You look at them this year, they covered like 25 spreads or something in 82 games. They were an absolute joke, and they were a joke last night. Like, what a that franchise drafted Luka Doncic and then traded him away, and you just watch him, and you're like, this is one of these franchises. Put him on the don't take him seriously. You don't take Atlanta seriously.
Remember when they actually thought there was a debate between Luka Doncic and Trae Young?
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That looks very cute awful. Now.
Well, people have gotten relieved of duty because of that.
Well, this injury to Jimmy Butler comes a night after Zion Williamson gets injured for the Pelicans in the play-in against the Lakers. And we know that they're not going to have the Pelicans with their season on the line. They're not going to have Zion against the Kings on Friday night either, and potentially for longer should they get past it. So I asked this question. Is there legitimate concern over the having the play-in when you have back-to-back injuries like this of even potentially getting into the postseason and now you really have no shot?
I don't think so. I mean, it's interesting considering back-to-back nights we've lost key guys. Like, we want to see Zion in the playoffs. We want to see Jimmy Butler in the playoffs. They're marketable guys. They're popular guys. They're great for the sport, great for the narratives, great for the storylines. But what are you going to do? The first thing we're going to have to realize, this isn't going away. Sports aren't in the habit of taking the product off the table. We only ever talk about expanding games. Like, it's always such a cute story when people are like, you know what would help baseball? Going from 162 games to 81 games, because 81 games would create a sense of urgency and people would be more excited. And baseball's like, yeah, let's make half the money. Great idea. Thanks for coming out. Everyone always forgets that component. You're never going to have fewer games or fewer opportunities. So now that this is in play and we're all making more money off it, that's going to stick. whether or not you can do something about the injuries. I mean, what's the difference between this happening today and in 2 days in game one of the playoffs? Are we going to say we should eliminate the opening round of the playoff? I don't know. I don't think there's anything you can do. I think you just realize this is very unfortunate. It sucks, but there's nothing that can be done here.
Why do we think that baseball players hate the expansion of the postseason, but they never say a word about the regular season being too long? They don't get paid in the postseason.
Correct.
That is the number one reason. If they got paid in the postseason, this wouldn't be a discussion whatsoever.
Baseball is all for the English Premier League model. Whoever wins the regular season, we're all going home after that.
Yeah.
No need for any of this other nonsense.
At least the players are like that.
Right.
But having said that, and I understand where some might think that this is an actual discussion. It's not. The play-in is good.
Yeah.
You know what? I've been energized the last couple of nights. I got a little something to do. And it's not just a regular playoff series. Because let's be honest. Come on in here for a sec, okay?
All right, bring it in tight.
There are going to be some bad playoff games and bad playoff matchups. These teams in the play-in, they may not be great teams, but they're evenly matched for the most part, are they not?
I think so. Hell yeah.
And so it gives me a little bit of juice. Yes, maybe the late games the last two nights weren't that great. That's fine. I was in bed anyway. I'm not going to lie.
Point spreads have all been within three, haven't they? Bulls were a three-point favorite. That actually dropped to 2.5, if memory serves me correctly. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia and Miami were sitting. That was right around 5. Philly got up to 5.5 because they were playing at home. But relatively tight spreads all the way around.
Yeah. And when you go beyond that, you get fired up to have this extra little juice to it, which begs this question. Why do we not have a game tonight? We played a play-in on Tuesday. We played a play-in yesterday. Thursday night is an ideal television night as opposed to Friday night. We're going to have both games tomorrow night. That makes absolutely no sense to me. Why am I not seeing the Pelicans and the Kings tonight? Why is that happening?
I would love the answer to that because I have been off on this all day. I was putting notes together for the TV show because I thought we were going to be picking games tonight, and we are. But I'm going through it, and I keep – because the games are listed on the odds board right next to each other with the same date, I kept saying, why are the Bulls and Heat turning around playing the next night? I mean, I get it. I guess they want to get them some rest going into the weekend rather than have them turn around Friday and then play on the weekend. So I guess I get it. I didn't realize that I was looking at the 19th and both teams were playing tomorrow. Yeah. I just assumed the Kings game would be tonight because they were off last night. So we have no game tonight and then we're going to wedge two together on Friday? There's definitely a reason. This isn't just
coincidence. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that the majority of people are saying, you know what? Thank God we've got two games on Friday night because I'm going to go out and I'm going to watch all of my NBA play-in action on a Friday night. No.
The thing is, they didn't just do this. They look at these ratings. It's the same reason why the UFC main event starts at like 1 a.m. on the East Coast. It feels insane, but they've done the study on this. These people are after every last dollar, and this is what the market tells them. I don't agree with it. You don't agree with it, but clearly there are people that agree with this.
Thursday night is a prime night for television. For people that still
we still got
watch
the Friends
regular
Seinfeld
television.
Back to back. We still got the Friends Seinfeld back to back.
Yeah, this is not much CTV in the 90s.
The Home and Home.
I can't wait till the finale of Cheers. It's not quite that, but it's a night that I would want to watch a basketball game that meant something, as opposed to tomorrow night, where no matter what. On the East Coast, you're going to make me stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning if I'm going to watch the late game, the Pelicans and the Kings. Now, we did get an answer to the question regarding machinations.
Did we?
Yeah, we went online collectively and sourced several different pronunciation guides, and they all came back the same way.
Machinations.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was a swing and a miss on my behalf.
Yeah. So maybe we don't question the guy with the degree in English.
Machinations.
Yep.
Here's what I don't get. I'm completely wrong. I don't have an excuse for this. You're right. I owe you an apology. I do apologize for that.
Apologize not accepted.
Okay. Apology not accepted. That's you. There's nothing else I can do here.
The guy with the English degree just said apologize not accepted.
I was willing to move past it. You were not. That shows how serious you are about the English language. You're going to correct all mistakes. I appreciate that about you.
Petty.
If the word is machine and then machinations is spelled like machine, why would we go with Mac? It's not machine gun. It's machine gun.
I don't know. There are many words that are anomalies like that, though.
You know when you realize how stupid all this is? When you have a 7 and a 5-year-old and you try to teach them to read and they ask you questions and you can't explain them because of how convoluted this language is.
Yeah. Try explaining to them why the plural of fungus is fungi.
It's a fun right? word.
Yeah, it is a fun word.
Fun is literally in the word.
Fungus. Hey, it's the Handman Daily Wager coming up next.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.